The National Coronavirus Command Council has decided to enforce a nationwide lockdown for 21 days with effect from midnight on Thursday, the 26th of March.
That was 5 years ago in 2020, when life as we knew it came to an abrupt halt around the world.
China closed off Wuhan, a city of 11 million people, to contain a deadly virus.
It has not been tried before as a public health measure.
In the days and weeks ahead, we expect to see the number of cases, the number of deaths, and the number of affected countries climb even higher.
In the blink of an eye, between one sunset and the next sunrise, the country learns of working from home, going to school through the lens of a computer camera, and shutting down industries.
Fellow South Africans, this is the most definitive Tuma Mina moment for our country. If we act together, if we act now, and if we act decisively, I am sure we will overcome it.
In this mini podcast series, the Jacaranda FM news team will help tell the story of COVID-19, from the so-called Sunday night family meetings with the president to the stories of heartbreak, survival, and learning how to fit a mask. We tell you how COVID-19 shaped and changed our lives forever and educated humanity about our fragile existence. The COVID-19 pandemic changed the way we lived, loved, and lost. Today, we reflect on what it meant, what it took from us, and how we are still healing. In this episode, Anastasi Mahobu hears from those who lost loved ones, those who fought for survival, and those still leading South Africans on a healing path.
Black, it actually was a reality. Because it was so long ago now, I suppose, but also it's almost like an old movie that you watched back in the day. And the characters, you remember them. The setting, the scene, everything about it is still clear. But there's a blurriness to it all as well. And I don't know if it's because it was trauma that you just wanted to blank those parts out. And also wanting to move on and moving forward. So you kind of like wanted to forget certain parts.
5 years after the first hard lockdown in South Africa, she says she is still learning all over again how to do life. What came naturally before March 2020 now needs a second thought. Corinne, as we will call her in this podcast, entered the COVID-19 pandemic with her husband and three youngest children behind the closed doors of their home in the east of Pretoria.
From our perspective, there were rules, and you needed to abide by the rules. And there was almost a false sense of security that if you abided by these rules, as a mom of the household, your children would be safe, your husband would be safe, your family would be fine. But then you get COVID anyway.
Corinne says despite her best effort to strictly follow all the rules and keep her family safe, her husband got sick. He was the first in their family to test positive for COVID-19. She immediately got tested and was informed she also had the virus. This was the news that no one wanted back then, but Corinne says she actually felt a sense of relief. At least her husband wouldn't have to face this unknown danger alone. After that, their children were also diagnosed with COVID-19. The disease that had the whole world in a panic had now firmly planted itself between the walls of their homes.
When my husband was confirmed and he was positive with COVID, I immediately went, he can't have this on his own. He can't go through this on his own. And I then went for a test, and I was also confirmed with COVID. And there was almost a sense of great gratitude, and I was grateful that I had it as well.
Why?
Because I didn't want him to be alone. I didn't want him to be scared alone. And Then my whole house came down with it. And I had three children at home. And my eldest daughter, she lived a few minutes away and in the same neighborhood. And she was fine for the first session or the second session, second wave. I can't remember now. Like I said to you, it was an old movie that seems to have played out. But my three children were sick. The youngest was very ill. I remember him not being able to lift his head off the pillow. I remember my daughter actually going a little bit blue around her mouth. And my eldest son, he was asymptomatic. So he had a sense of guilt in that he wasn't as ill as the rest of us. But my husband was the worst out of all of us. And I was sick as well. I had a lot of trouble breathing and an unbelievable sense of guilt of not being able to look after my family.
What came next to Corinne is something that any mother or nurturer will understand. There was no time to acknowledge her own illness or try and get herself better. Her focus was solely on caring for her family. She had to be the ICU nurse that her family needed, keeping track of the ventilator that she shared her bedroom with, and make sure everybody was fed. It wasn't until the day she struggled to do something that would normally have come naturally, like opening a bottle of milk, that she realized her own strength was slipping away.
I remember sliding down the fridge, the door of the fridge, with the milk, the 2-liter milk in my hand. And I was crying because I couldn't open the bottle of milk. And that was a big low for me because I didn't have time for this. I didn't have time to feel ill. I only had time to help my little girl change her linen, because it hadn't been changed for days, for over a week, days. I didn't have time because I needed to feed my children. I didn't have time because I needed to check on vitals. And just not opening the milk was such a low for me, because I realized I was weak too. And I was taking phone calls all the time from family members, and I was wheezing. I was struggling to breathe. And I realized that to look after them, I needed to also look after myself. But it was such an irony, because as a mom, you don't have time to look after yourself.
Corinne's family finally found hope when everyone recovered from COVID-19.
And my husband was the weakest out of us all. And I think that's why so much time was spent in the ICU ward in my house. Until eventually he was able to walk with his oxygen tank to the lounge. I think he just so desperately wanted to get out of the room. You know, and we then had the TV on all the time, trying to get as much information as we could, because we were so isolated. And besides the sweetie parcels for the children to keep their spirits up and the food that was left at the gate, we had no contact. And thank goodness for cell phones and being able to speak to family. That was such an unbelievable strength. But then also knowing that although there was so much friendship and love and strength, you're still alone in your house with the chaos of COVID. And so finally we moved to the lounge, and finally we could get the oxygen pieces of tubing out of the nose, and we were able to sit up straight. We were able to walk a little bit. We were able to have a shower, slowly, slowly. And my daughter recovered completely. She was strong. My youngest recovered completely. My eldest son, he was so grateful that everybody was getting back to normal, because he was kind of like lonely out there. Yeah, he was completely and utterly asymptomatic, and we had him tested and he 100% had COVID.
This family may have physically survived the pandemic, their bodies may have been strong enough, but the trauma still lingers.
I don't want to remember what it was like. Because every single moment of those days were fight or flight. And you had to fight. There was no flight from this. And I think the PTSD from that now is that if any of my children fall ill, if my husband falls ill, we are not waiting to see how long we need to wait it out. Blood tests are done, whatever needs to happen. We actually reached a point, I think, during COVID, where I think we all realized as a family that bad can get worse. And if you are not feeling well, and if something's not okay, we don't wait for worse. We immediately go and seek medical attention. To what wasn't our norm before COVID.
While the world struggled to navigate the global health crisis, personal tragedies and great loss became part of our social fabric. For some, it meant losing a loved one.
Anybody in life, we all have our shortcomings, our weaknesses. That is part of life. That's part of who we are. I'm by no means a perfect individual. And so he was a good person. He loved life. He lived life. He was very sociable. He loved the news. And his dream was always to become a journalist. And I believe that that was something that indirectly, because news was such a big feature in our household, I believe that it kind of trickled down. And so hence I am a journalist today.
Chanel's father was a 61-year-old when he passed away during the early and first months of COVID-19. Chanel's eyes lit up when she remembers her father. But then, the moment her family first realized something was wrong.
Yo, Anastasia, I'm thinking back. And a part of me, it feels so far away, but so close. Like I remember it yesterday, but it's like this memory that's in a box that's been stored away. If I think back, I remember my dad being ill for a good couple of days, but he always had problems with his chest and his lungs. And we'd gone away as a family for the weekend, and we had the best time. And he came back and he wasn't feeling great. A couple of days later, none of us in the family then, except my mom, also then wasn't feeling well after a couple of days. So they obviously went out. They were with friends as well. When we were away, we went to Marcel Bay as a family for the weekend. And none of us, my sister, myself, the kids, nobody was ill except him and my mom. So either he picked it up a couple of days before that. It could have been anywhere at work, at a shop, anywhere. It could have been anywhere. And he wasn't feeling great. I remember driving him to hospital a Thursday. Still in complete denial. This can't be happening. I think it's that news element or that journalism, like it happens to other people. It doesn't happen to you. This is things that you read about on the news or you cover as a journalist. And only when he passed away, it was like, this really happened. It's something I couldn't believe.
But as the days passed, Chanel was forced to confront reality. And as strange as it may sound, it came with a sense of comfort at a time and in a way she least expected it.
the best way to describe it to somebody was he looked like he was ready. He knew what was coming. He was ready to go. And that was comforting to me because obviously he was suffering. And obviously we wanted him to stay. We knew that the prognosis from the doctors weren't good. One of the things being that he would be for the rest of his life on an oxygen tank. So the person who we knew and loved would have not necessarily been the person who came back should he have made it. He ended up passing away. And we miss him incredibly. I miss him. And after that, it was a long journey of healing, the trauma, being a journalist, reading those figures every day. I had staff members who lost their spouses, who lost their fathers, who were in hospital. It was a time, and I don't want to go back, something like that.
5 years on, Chanel reflects on the lessons she's learned through grief and healing.
It's so easy to be stuck in that, being afraid. I'm just talking from personal experience. I definitely was there. Not being wanting to go anywhere. I think it's important to love life and to remember that you've been given this gift. And it's an incredible gift, and not to allow it to slip away. You've got to live life. And if I think about my dad, he was such a big person in terms of life, in terms of enjoying life, in terms of the life of the party, that I felt like I had to live life. He wouldn't want me to sit in a dark room, be afraid, not go anywhere. He would want me to live.
In another part of the world, Gunokutle Malinga lost her mother. Sarah Khumalo was more than a parent. She was the first person that Gunokutle would phone in any situation. Her mom was her friend, the first contact in her cell phone list, and for the briefest of times, also a granddaughter to her firstborn. That was until this disease ravaged its destruction through their family. Gunokutle gave birth to her little girl in the first year of lockdown. A mere 6 months later, her grandfather suddenly fell ill and eventually passed from COVID-19. Her mom helped with the funeral arrangement and in that time also fell ill.
Since one day a message came from my mom and she said, "Hi guys, I'm rushing off to Elokshini, which is the township where my grandparents stay." She's like, "I'm going to Elokshini to get Umkhulu, my grandfather, which is her dad. I'm going to get Umkhulu because he has collapsed on the road." So my grandfather was someone that really enjoyed taking walks at the age of 18. He was fit as a fiddle for his age. So my mom had gotten a call that my grandfather collapsed in the middle of the road near the house. And locals, because they know him, they immediately knew who to contact. So my mom went rushing to go help my grandfather. She then took him to the clinic, to the local doctor, where he was immediately transferred to the hospital.
When her grandfather tested positive for COVID-19, Sarah Khumalo knew she had been exposed. She helped care for him. As one of the breadwinners in the family, she felt the responsibility to make funeral arrangements. She began leaving the house, breaking isolation to ensure everything was in order. With each passing day, she grew weaker. But it was already too late. Her mother was eventually admitted to the hospital.
She can't speak that much anymore. She's sending us messages, sometimes voice notes if she can, but you can tell that she's really struggling. I think then when she got admitted, I knew then that this is a serious, serious situation. But I didn't take her being in hospital serious until she got admitted into ICU, the COVID-19 ICU ward. That's when I knew that, okay, something is, it's this is another level of COVID-19. And she was unable to talk to us. She was only able to talk to us at certain hours. And the last message that she sent to us was, one day she woke us up with a very crazy message. She said, guys, wake up. I remember it came in at 5 o'clock in the morning. She said, guys, wake up. Wake up and pray. Wake up and pray for me.
As the days passed, Sarah Kumalo's condition deteriorated. But through her grief, she has found a way to honor her mother.
I'm still going through therapy, but most of the time I'm able to have a conversation and laugh about my mom. At first, I would cry the entire time. But now, really, I choose to celebrate her, the beautiful woman that she is, or the beautiful woman that she was in my life and in everybody else's life that she knew. And my one wish, my only one wish, is to be able to go home and go visit my mom's workplace. Because since she died, I've never been to her office since. So I'd love to go visit my mom's office. Just one more time.
While the world has largely moved on from the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic, its psychological impact still runs rife amongst humanity.
So 5 years after the COVID-19 pandemic, we are still seeing lingering anxiety, health-related fears, social disconnect. You know, there's also people who are continuing to struggle with burnout, particularly in high-stress professions. A global study actually found that the prevalence of anxiety and depression has increased by 25%. During the pandemic, and these effects have persisted for many individuals. Others also have, experienced complicated grief from losing loved ones or financial distress from businesses that have never recovered. And there's also a rise in avoidance behavior that we have noticed. So with some individuals still feeling uneasy in crowded spaces or struggling with in-person interactions.
That is Kaylee Wood, a registered senior counselor at the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. According to Kaylee, the trauma of COVID-19 hasn't faded.
Being cut off from regular social interactions for such a long time has led to increased rates of depression and anxiety and even cognitive decline for some. So isolation, it can reshape neural pathways, which affect how individuals perceive and interact with the world. If we look at grief, you know, the loss of a loved one or any significant life challenges or changes for that matter during the pandemic has left a lot of people struggling with prolonged emotional distress. And grief can often trigger or worsen mental health conditions like depression, anxiety, PTSD.
The forced isolation during lockdown also had long-term consequences on the mental well-being of people in every corner of the country and in all positions of life and career. Wood also highlights the role of volunteering and creative pursuits as ways of healing.
So brain-based therapies are really effective in terms of coping and dealing with almost like pandemic-related traumas. So brain-based therapies like brain spotting, BWRT, EMDR, they're really effective in processing that trauma. CBT, so cognitive behavior therapy, which is helping individuals reframe negative thought patterns, as well as dialectical behavior therapy, so DBT, which is useful for managing emotional distress. Those therapeutic approaches have been really effective in terms of just managing kind of the post-pandemic related trauma. And then just some coping techniques. So practical strategies, journaling, mindfulness, structured routines can really help individuals gain a sense of stability.
COVID-19 may no longer dominate headlines, but its impact lingers on in our hearts, minds, and daily lives. This week, we honor the stories of survival, of love that endures in absence, and of people finding ways to heal step by step. Moving forward doesn't mean forgetting. It means honoring what we've been through while allowing ourselves to rebuild. We're still here, we're still standing, and together we keep going. I am Anastasia Mokgobo for Jacaranda FM News.
COVID Chronicles, 5 years after Moss, Thermometers, and My Fellow South Africans, is an original Jackpot podcast brought to you by Jacaranda FM News. Jacaranda FM cannot be held responsible for the views and comments expressed in this podcast. Follow Jacaranda FM News on Facebook and X, or go to jacarandafm.com and click on News. Listen to more episodes and original series at jacarandafm.com. Click on Jackpot or wherever you get all your other podcasts.